Now turn to part three. You will hear a radio interview with Olivia Gliden and Ron Partridge, who are hyperpolyglots, people who can speak many languages. For questions 16 to 20, choose the answer A, B, C or D, which fits best according to what you hear. You now have 1 minute in which to look at part three.
With me today are two hyperpolyglots. That's people who can speak multiple languages. There's Olivia Gliden, who at the age of 20 can already speak 25 languages, and Ron Partridge, who can speak an incredible 50 languages and has written a book called Speaking in Many Tongues. So, Olivia, why the need to speak so many languages?
I think for me it's just that I'm into the way languages work. I just like them for their own sake, really. Using them as a communication tool is just a great byproduct. In fact, I've only ever had the opportunity to travel outside the United States once, so all my communication is via Skype and email.
Yes, and when you say I speak 50 languages, that's not to say I'm fluent in all those languages. I have a working knowledge of them, but I'm nowhere near the level of a native speaker. But I just love discovering more about the technical aspects of a language. Also, the more you learn, the easier it becomes to pick up additional languages. Now, I'd only need a month or so to get to grips with the alphabet, pronunciation, and grammar of any language.
Would you say being a hyperpolyglot is something of a minority sport?
Well, in fact, it was incredible to read Ron's book and find how typical my experience was of becoming a hyperpolyglot. I hadn't realised there were so many of us around.
Yes, it's nice to know there are other people who share your passion. And occasionally you'll find someone who's chosen the same obscure language to learn, so you can communicate via that. But when I was writing the book, I discovered that hyperpolyglots have only been around since the 19th century, when people began to travel more. And the debate about whether the ability to learn multiple languages is an innate skill or whether it's learned started back then. Now we know that some people have a natural gift, though it certainly helps if you're bilingual or trilingual to begin with. That applied to me as my mother's Dutch.
And how do people react to it? For me, with my very rusty French, it seems an almost superhuman feat.
Incomprehension as to how we do it, coupled with awe, is a fairly typical reaction.
Yeah, some people can also be a bit suspicious, like there must be something weird about us or we've got suspect motives for wanting to learn dozens of languages. But generally, people all over the world are really enthusiastic and willing to teach me Hindi, Arabic, Turkish, Kurdish, Dutch, or whatever. They get a kick out of it. That makes me feel good.
Yes, for so long all the traffic has been in the opposite direction, with English becoming so dominant. So I find it quite moving to discover that people are so proud of their native tongue.
So, Olivia, do you spend all your free time on the internet learning these languages?
Pretty much. Up to 15 hours a day during college vacations. But it's not like I'm passively watching TV all day. I'm learning stuff all the time, even when I'm watching trashy soap operas or chat shows, things I wouldn't be caught dead watching in English, but they're cool in Hindi. I don't think I'm abnormal or obsessive. It's just I found my niche, and I get to have online relationships with people around the world that share my interest.
Right, and what about you, Ron? I understand you've a particular affection for some languages.
That's right. There's a nearly extinct language spoken by the few surviving members of an Aboriginal group in East Asia. It's not a language I can easily use to converse with other people. It's not that it lacks words for things like car and computer, but they're irrelevant in my case. But when I'm walking up in the hills, I find myself thinking in this language because it has this mystical quality. It's terrible that the world is losing so many of these ancient languages.
Well, that's absolutely fascinating. Really, thank you so much for coming in today.
Now you will hear part three again.
With me today are two hyperpolyglots. That's people who can speak multiple languages. There's Olivia Glyden, who at the age of 20 can already speak 25 languages, and Ron Partridge, who can speak an incredible 50 languages and has written a book called Speaking in Many Tongues. So, Olivia, why the need to speak so many languages?
I think for me, it's just that I'm into the way languages work. I just like them for their own sake, really. Using them as a communication tool is just a great byproduct. In fact, I've only ever had the opportunity to travel outside the United States once, so all my communication is via Skype and email.
Yes, and when you say I speak 50 languages, that's not to say I'm fluent in all those languages. I have a working knowledge of them, but I'm nowhere near the level of a native speaker. But I just love discovering more about the technical aspects of a language. Also, the more you learn, the easier it becomes to pick up additional languages. Now, I'd only need a month or so to get to grips with the alphabet, pronunciation, and grammar of any language.
Would you say being a hyperpolyglot is something of a minority sport?
Well, in fact, it was incredible to read Juan's book and find how typical my experience was of becoming a hyperpolyglot. I hadn't realised there were so many of us around.
Yes, it's nice to know there are other people who share your passion. And occasionally you'll find someone who's chosen the same obscure language to learn, so you can communicate via that. But when I was writing the book, I discovered that hyperpolyglots have only been around since the 19th century, when people began to travel more. And the debate about whether the ability to learn multiple languages is an innate skill or whether it's learned started back then. Now we know that some people have a natural gift, though it certainly helps if you're bilingual or trilingual to begin with. That applied to me, as my mother's Dutch.
And how do people react to it? For me, with my very rusty French, it seems an almost superhuman feat.
Incomprehension as to how we do it, coupled with awe, is a fairly typical reaction.
Yeah, some people can also be a bit suspicious, like there must be something weird about us or we've got suspect motives for wanting to learn dozens of languages. But generally, people all over the world are really enthusiastic and willing to teach me Hindi, Arabic, Turkish, Kurdish, Dutch, or whatever. They get a kick out of it. That makes me feel good.
Yes, for so long all the traffic has been in the opposite direction, with English becoming so dominant. So I find it quite moving to discover that people are so proud of their native tongue.
So, Olivia, do you spend all your free time on the internet learning these languages?
Pretty much. Up to 15 hours a day during college vacations. But it's not like I'm passively watching TV all day. I'm learning stuff all the time, even when I'm watching trashy soap operas or chat shows, things I wouldn't be caught dead watching in English, but they're cool in Hindi. I don't think I'm abnormal or obsessive. It's just I found my niche, and I get to have online relationships with people around the world that share my interest.
Right, and what about you, Ron? I understand you've a particular affection for some languages.
That's right. There's a nearly extinct language spoken by the few surviving members of an Aboriginal group in East Asia. It's not a language I can easily use to converse with other people. It's not that it lacks words for things like car and computer, but they're irrelevant in my case. But when I'm walking up in the hills, I find myself thinking in this language because it has this mystical quality. It's terrible that the world is losing so many of these ancient languages.
Well, that's absolutely fascinating. Really, thank you so much for coming in today.
That is the end of part three.